Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to begin this morning just by saying, and last week I got a little emotional, but from Donna and myself, a very, very big thank you to the church. Your kindness and kind words were greatly appreciated last week, as well as those of others that were here. We do feel very, very blessed that God has brought us here, that this is the ministry that He has given us, and that He has brought wonderful people into our lives and into our congregation. So again, I just say thank you. Now I've got a transition. I'm going to make a statement. And I really want you to think about this and not just blurt out an answer, but I want you to think about the statement that I make and see what your answer would be. I think, now this is my statement, I think that the main purpose of the church is to have fellowship. What do you think of that statement? I think that the main purpose of the church is to have fellowship. What do you think? Is that maybe the way that you feel? Maybe that's what you believe and that's what you feel about the church. But I want you to remember that I said, I think that the main, there's a big word there, the main purpose is fellowship. Is that the case, or is actually the main purpose a little bit deeper than that? Over my years of ministry, I've actually heard a lot of comments and a lot of statements and a lot of things said, and people say, oh, no, they don't really say that stuff to you. And yeah, they do. That the things that I've heard in my office and the things that I heard when we lived on the reservation and thoughts that people have, it's amazing. Here's a few of the statements just that I've heard over the years, and these are real and it's actual and it's true. Pastor, you need to wear a suit. Don't you know you're not honoring God if you don't wear a suit? Well, let's see. If I go back to the time of Jesus, I need a white robe and nothing underneath. Not happening. Pastor, what are you doing to the music? Music's music. I don't do anything to the music. It's beautiful music. Words are what's important. I don't like that rock stuff. You can't have a drum in the sanctuary. You can't remove the organ. Pastor, and sometimes they get cold and sometimes people say things and I wish they'd think about it, because this one really bothered me when I heard this, and I had a very lengthy conversation with this individual. Pastor, we don't need those kind of people in this church. What? Pastor, what exactly do you mean by outreach? We need to focus on our own people. Don't worry about them. Pastor, why is the council meeting so long? I've got better things to do with my time. Hey, I'll tell you what, if that's the case, you don't belong in the council. Now, before I get into trouble, I want everyone here to realize and everyone here to understand that I did not use anyone's name. You didn't hear anybody's name come out of this. Their identity has been protected for my own safety. But people say these things. The question that I pose to you this morning is, why are you here? Why are you here? Why did you get up out of bed on this beautiful rainy day that we haven't had all summer? And I'm looking at the rain coming down outside now, and I look up here and I see the gloomy skies. Why would anybody get up out of bed and get ready and everything else and come to church and be here this morning? Why are you here? See, we're going to talk about purpose this morning. And your purpose determines your mission. Your purpose determines your mission. Do petty squabbles in your life and in church, do they receive too much attention? You know what happens is you start seeing and picking little things apart. The lights are too bright. The lights are too dull. The heat is too high. The heat is too low. The fans are running. They're not running. So-and-so said this. They're sitting in my seat. How can we do this? And these petty, petty little teeny tiny squabbles receive way too much attention. Way too much. Do you have a tendency, folks, to major in the minors when it comes to church? A lot of people do. And I see people come to church, and it bothers me sometimes because we're in the Lord's house. You know what we're doing today? We are bringing honor and glory and praise and joy to the Lord God. We're lifting everything up to Him. Oh, my goodness, the music we sing, that is just a predecessor of what we're going to hear in heaven. We're doing on Tuesday night, we're doing a Bible study down at Gene and T's, and we're going over the book of Revelation. And one thing for those that have been there and have been going through this and are learning as we're going through it, they're learning that there is a lot of singing, a lot of singing, and a lot of praise, and a lot of music, and a lot of rejoicing takes place in heaven. We're getting prepared. So we're lifting our voices to God, and we're saying, here we are, God, now we want to hear from you. We've come. We want to hear your message. What is your purpose? Because your purpose is going to define and it's going to determine your mission. Now, I used to love to play football. I absolutely love football. It didn't matter. I had free time. I was playing football. And we'd all get together. We'd have a good time. And if you have ever played football, you're going to understand and be able to imagine this scene that I'm going to give you. If you have never played football, stay with me. I may have to explain a few things. Actually, I was reading a book, and it reminded me of these things that are so true, but I want you to imagine for a moment, those of you who have played, you'll understand. It's late in the fourth quarter. Now, for you non-football fans, that means the game's almost over. You know, for those of you who just kind of tolerate the game and, you know, so we can get on to something else. Late in the fourth quarter means the game is almost over. You gather around in a huddle. That's where all the football players come together. You'll see them make that little circle. And you gather around in the huddle and you come together and they're there to come up with the next play. So you and the players are all there together and they get tight. Now here's what happens. Imagine this. You've already played three quarters of football. You're late in the fourth quarter and they all come together. Everybody is sweaty. Because sweat's just pouring down, dripping. It doesn't matter how cold it is. You play football, you sweat. And the sweat is just dripping off of them, running down their eyes and over their face. They got to wipe it out of their mouth, you know. And now what happens? These group of guys that are all hot and wet and sweaty, they come together and put arms around each other. You begin to get the picture? And they come around and there's a smell. I'm sorry, it's there. And then as you get closer and closer together in the huddle, you start noticing that the guy next to you or maybe the quarterback has bad breath. Because when you're in here like this, you're breathing on each other. Oh, my goodness. You get in the huddle, and you come in the huddle, and you're close together, and this guy's arm is bleeding, and this guy's got cuts and scratches on his legs, but it doesn't stop you. And you get in the huddle, and you just realize that this is a muddy, bloody, nasty, smelly, stinky mess. That's the huddle. Well, a lot of dirt, a lot of sweat, a lot of blood, a lot of unpleasant smells, and that's football. It's a great game. It's lots of fun, and some of you don't understand. Okay. But I'm going to tell you something. You know what I never heard in the huddle? I never heard this said in any huddle I ever went into. Dennis, you really stink. Now, I did, but nobody told me that. Or Dave, tuck your shirt in. Or Dan, go get a certs for your breath, will you? And let me tell you, Dan needed that certs. Never heard that in the football huddle. Well, why do you think these comments are never heard in the middle of the huddle late in the fourth quarter? It's real simple, folks. It's because they're irrelevant and they're insignificant. Football teams are driven by their goal to win the game. They're riveted in their attention and they're united in their action. They're focused, folks, on their purpose. Begin to see an analogy here? Churches aren't a lot different than football teams. The church has a purpose, and that purpose is the reason we exist. Now, the Bible says that we exist to reach people with the life-saving message of the gospel of Christ. I want you to know something. I want you to understand something. Every single day, now we're talking about your purpose. Every single day, people die without a relationship with Jesus Christ, who paid for their sins with his own death and resurrection. Ever since the church began, folks, I want you to hear, ever since the church began, it's been late in the fourth quarter. Jesus never said when the end would come, but he does say about that day and hour, no one knows. Not the angels in heaven or the Son, but only the Father. That's Matthew 24:36. And then Paul echoes that and echoes Christ's statements years later when his letter to the church in Thessalonica, he said, concerning the times and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not need to have anything written for you or written to you. For you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:1-2 for those who are following. Listen, there is an urgency. It's been late in the fourth quarter for a long time, and there is an urgency to spread the gospel message. For people worldwide, eternity hangs in the balance. And it's been said, the gospel is good news only if it arrives on time. You agree? The gospel is only good news if it arrives on time. And all too often, it arrives too late. And that means that somebody's spending eternity in hell. Today, folks, today is the last day for someone. Do you agree? That's the truth. Today is the last day for someone. And so many times I have heard Christians say, boy, if I would have known, I'd have talked to him. If I would have known, I would have visited them in the hospital. If I would have known, I would have done this, I would have done this. Today is the last day for someone. It's late in the fourth quarter. And somebody needs to hear the message that comes from God's people. And people will come up to me and they'll say, listen, I don't know how to do this, Pastor. I don't know how to go to somebody and talk to somebody and share Christ with somebody. You know what? If you're here, you're a believer in Jesus Christ. You received Him as Savior and Lord. And you know what it is to pray. And you know what it is to read your Bible. If you're here and you believe in Jesus Christ, you know what to say. Just tell them your story. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Right? Was blind, but now I see. That's a real simple way to tell it. One time I was lost to sin and my life was ruined. And because of the way I was living my life, I had no hope of eternity. I had no hope of going to heaven. And had I died in that moment that I was lost to sin, I would have been in hell. But somebody took the time to come and to talk to me and to say, Jesus loves me. They didn't have to. At least they weren't compelled by man. But they shared Jesus Christ. And I said, that's interesting. And they kept sharing Jesus Christ. And I said, that's very interesting. And they kept sharing Jesus Christ. And years go by. And finally I said, I want that for my life. That's what I want. I want that joy. I want that contentment and that peace. I want the happiness that comes with that. Today is the last day for someone, and you make the difference. We don't know. We don't know that we're going to take another breath. We don't know that we're going to have another heartbeat. We don't know that we're going to make it safe home from church today. But the one thing we can know is the salvation we have in Jesus Christ. Amen. What would happen? Yeah. What would happen? When you aren't focused on the primary purpose of the church, on the primary purpose of Christianity, you tend to become focused on everything else. Have you heard the story of the three monks? There's these three monks. They've taken a vow of silence, and in their vow of silence, they're allowed to break that only once a year. Just once a year. And so year comes around and the first monk he kind of looks at the other ones and he's the one who's allowed to speak that year, see? And what he speaks, he says, you know, I wish we could have seeds on our rye bread. Well, silence. Another year passes. Second monk, it's his time to speak, and it's that time when they can, and it's been a whole year, and he says, I prefer rye bread without seeds. Silence. And it goes on, and a year passes, and there's been silence, there's been no speaking, and finally it's time for the third monk to share and for the third monk to speak, and they're sitting there, and he speaks, and he says, I can't stand this constant bickering. Folks, sometimes that's the way it is in church. We major in the minors. We look for the little things, and we pick them apart. Instead of focusing on the greater things that God wants us to focus on. And we keep coming back to the little things. It's easy to be negative. Did you know that? It's easy to be negative. It takes courage to be positive. It really does. You walk into church, and every time we come to church, every time we come together, we're bringing all of our baggage of the week, the month, the year, everything we're carrying. We're dragging it in behind us, and we walk through the doors of the church, and all of a sudden, we try to put a smile on. I'm here. Hi, God. But we got all this junk, and we're still focused on it. This is a time to let it go. This is a time to celebrate. This is a time to be prepared for the coming week and to be able to deal with the junk that happens. Listen, what would happen if everything, and you think about it, because different ones complain about different things, and I'm not picking on anybody, okay, but different ones complain about different things. What would happen if everything you complained about, not just in church, but in life in general, what would happen if everything you complained about was viewed according to how much difference it would ultimately make in God's kingdom? Wait a minute. What would happen? How would it be if everything you complained about, you looked at it from that view? What difference is this going to make in the kingdom of God? I bet we would change our minds about a lot of the stuff we talk about. I think we would start looking and focusing a little bit on what God wants and less on what we want. I think we would be a little more forgiving. I think we would be a little more loving. I think we would look at our church with different eyes. What makes the difference ultimately in God's kingdom? Would it still seem worth the turmoil? Would it still seem important enough to argue about instead of reaching the lost? Discussions come up frequently about feeding the flock rather than reaching the lost. And the truth is, in order to reach the lost, folks, we have to be a little bit uncomfortable. We have to accept different ideas and we have to accept different concepts. People are lost outside the church because they feel uncomfortable in the church. You ever been in that position? I'm not going, man. They're weird, man. They raise their hands and they sing these songs, and I don't know some of the words even of the songs, and they open the Bible and it's some foreign language. I don't know. They call it Elizabethan English, people outside the church are as uncomfortable about coming in as we are about going out. But we've been given a mission. And we've been given a ministry. And I'll tell you what, if you're not a little bit uncomfortable when it comes to going out and trying to reach people for Jesus Christ, there's something wrong. I get nervous about it. But it's what God's called us to do. And very seldom, very, very seldom will people outside the church come in first. It takes somebody contacting them and talking to them. And building a relationship. Well, the issue is perspective and understanding what the primary purpose of the church is. Those who want to maintain the status quo in the church and maintain just a nice, comfortable atmosphere for those who already belong to the church, they see the main purpose of the church faced inwardly. Let's just take care of ourselves. Let's get in our own little, we'll use the word huddle again, our little holy huddle where all the saints can gather and where we can talk. Let's get in our little holy huddle and get real tight and get real close because we'll feel good about that. That's not what God wants us to do. Doesn't want us just faced inwardly. Those who see the need for the church to do things that'll draw lost people in, not just to the church, but into the kingdom of God, they look through a window that faces outwardly. That's what Jesus looked at. Two different belief systems. One is a biblical worldview of the main purpose of the church. The other group, they just hold to a different worldview. So what is, folks, what is the main purpose of the church? Jesus gives us the answer, and it's the same one he gave his disciples after his resurrection. And throughout his ministry, Jesus had trained his disciples to take the gospel message to the world. And now that time had come, And at the end of Matthew's gospel, Jesus said to his disciples, very familiar passage, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And remember," I love that, "and remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." It's Matthew 28:18-20. The key objective in Jesus' charge is to his disciples. He never intended for this to be an option. Understand? It's an objective he gave. He didn't want it to be an option. He didn't say, "Hey, if you have time, go make disciples." Or he didn't say, "You know, it'd be great if you went and reached the lost." He said, "Make disciples of all nations." And that means reaching out to those who don't know who Jesus really is. And there's no statute of limitations given for how long the church needs to make disciples. And his command begins with a simple participle, and it's the word "go." And do so to the very end of the age, which has yet to occur, folks. When you look through a biblical window, it's quite clear. The main purpose of the church is to make disciples. Listen, visitors count. Go make disciples, reach people, bringing them into the kingdom of God. Sadly, over the centuries, this biblical worldview for the primary purpose of the church has been altered. Although it was altered never by Jesus, it's been altered by human opinion. Seeing things through the biblical window is the first step toward becoming an effective Christian. The world doesn't see that. Those outside the church don't see that. Those that don't know Jesus Christ, they don't see that. They don't see the importance of knowing who Christ is and the importance of salvation and everything that comes from knowing God as Savior and Lord. And if you don't have Christ's perspective on the church, the less important issues will be equally and more drastically skewed. The reason? It's real simple. How you see your purpose determines your mission. Our purpose at Laurel Street Community Church is to reach the lost for Jesus Christ, to develop Christ-like maturity, to love one another in our community, glorifying God in all we do. And if that is not the Great Commission, somebody tell me what is. That's why we exist. It's how the Lord has told us to conduct his church, and our prayer is that all who attend will see and will adopt this vision. It's a world vision to reach people who are in threat of dying and going to hell without Christ. That bothers me. It disturbs me. It disturbs me that people die and they don't know Jesus and they go to hell, and that's where they're going to spend eternity. All that we do in the church needs to be focused on reaching the lost. I, as your pastor, assure you that I will do anything necessary to reach the lost in our community. I will go anywhere. I will do anything. I will say whatever is necessary. I'll do whatever it takes. And I am more than willing to train you to do the same thing. My belief for this church is that we will do whatever is necessary and whatever is needed to complete and to accomplish the Great Commission. I'm thankful for those in this church who share the vision, and they've stuck with us for a long time. And you know what? There's some people here that have been here for a long time. And they've seen changes. Some of you have seen a lot of ministry changes in this church, and you have a great biblical view of the purpose of the church. Folks, finally, I never want us to forget that we are here to provide a place of fellowship. We really are. And share God's love with one another. But that's not our primary purpose. Fellowship. It's essential to the body of Christ. Growing spiritually with others fosters a healthy community. And listen, a Christian without a church is just an orphan. They're blown around by every wind and seed of doctrine. It's true. A strong sense of fellowship creates unity and is a healthy base for the church to accomplish the task of reaching the lost. But fellowship is not our main purpose. In Israel, the Jordan River flows down and flows into the Sea of Galilee. And as the Jordan River flows, the Jordan River itself is very rich, lush foliage all along the banks. It's a beautiful river. It's got beautiful color to it. And it flows through these canyons. Just a gorgeous, gorgeous river. And the water is fresh and clean and wonderful. It flows into the Sea of Galilee. And life just blossoms around the Sea of Galilee. And you get down around the Sea of Galilee, and there's so much there that the foliage, and they're able to farm and have crops and everything because this lush freshwater sea that exists. And leaving the Sea of Galilee, it flows down further and it flows into the Dead Sea. To the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea has no outlet. It's closed off. So the water that flows into the Dead Sea, it just stays there. It's stagnant. Nothing can live in it. Nothing can survive. Folks, that's kind of what happens with Christians when we close ourselves off. Fellowship is God pouring Himself into us. Jordan River. God pouring Himself into us so that we can be fruitful and do things for Him. That we can be vibrant. That we can be maybe the Sea of Galilee with all the good stuff that goes on around it. But all too often what happens with a Christian is that water flows on into us and then we become like the Dead Sea because nothing flows out. Nothing flows out. And let me tell you something. Christians become stagnant too. They really do. Because we become a closed system and we say, oh, I've got it. You know, I've got it. The Dead Sea holds the water. But it's dead. I've got Jesus in my life, but I'm not going to tell anybody I'm dead. I come to church on Sunday and I listen to the pastor and boy, it makes me feel good, but I'm not going to share that with anybody next week. I'm dead. Why is it, Pastor, that I have this great emptiness inside? I believe in Jesus, and I know He died for me, and I know the Holy Spirit came for me. And why is it, Pastor, that I'm so empty inside? Man, who have you poured yourself into? Who have you shared that with? You want to feel that life? You want to be a part of the vibrant, growing thing that comes from the freshness of God? Then start sharing. Don't look for magic words or magic ways. Just start sharing. Let people know that you love Jesus. Go to a restaurant and deliberately sit down and before you eat, take time to pray. And by the way, when that waitress comes by, just say something to the waitress to the effect of, you know what, in a moment I'm going to be praying for our food. How can I ask God to bless you today? Is that easily done? No. Is it uncomfortable? Yes, I want it to be. Can you do it? Of course. And you'll be surprised the results that you get. What else can you do? Is poured into you from God Himself. You've got to keep it going or you just die spiritually. At least you feel that way. Have you lost your salvation? No, you know, God still loves you. But you're empty inside because you're just not doing what He's called you to do. Okay, I said it. I'm one final word today. Jesus founded the church. He died for the church. Jesus sent His Spirit to the church. And someday He will return for His church. As the owner of the church, he has already established the purposes. By the way, they're not negotiable. They're not negotiable. Jesus never asked anyone to come up with a different or a better plan, and he's not going to. He commissioned us to carry out the main purpose of the church, that is to make disciples. Folks, your purpose determines your mission. Would you bow your heads? Sometimes it's hard to get hold of these concepts. And as we close in prayer this morning, I'm gonna make it just as simple as I can make it. Why are you here? If you're here just for fellowship, that's what you're going to receive. But if you're here to become the person that God wants you to become, you'll receive that as well, because he will come into your life and he will allow you to go and pour yourself into others. Will he make it comfortable? Not really. But he'll be with you. As I pray, won't you just lift your heart to God this morning? Say, Lord, how can I take this to somebody else this week? My purpose is going to be to go into the world and to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go out and share. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for what you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you that Jesus was willing to come. Jesus, we thank you for coming. You paid such a great price for us. But through you, we find wholeness. Through you, we find where sins are gone. Through you, we find where troubles of life are not so important. Through you, Father, we find hope and salvation. Thank you so much. And Father, I pray for each one here today that they would understand this message and that their purpose would become a purpose of discipleship, a purpose of reaching the lost. We never want to lose the fellowship that exists as we love one another and encourage one another and lift each other up. But most importantly, Father, we never want to lose that desire to go and reach others. Lord, help us just to be your instruments as we lift this to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stand with us.